TMZ TV.
Giving you a little different look today. This is Martin Zender broadcasting from the cottage, which is behind my house. Juliana rents this place, but the Canadians are coming. We had the Russians for about 2 months. As I told you, two Russians came in, two Russians and an American went out. They had a little bambino while they were here. The Canadians are coming. The Canadians are coming. That's happening on Saturday. But until now, look, I got the run of this place. So I decided to broadcast here with the good old microphone set up from the Revelation series and other memorable series. Hello, everyone. I have a favor to ask of you before I talk to you about evil. And what I would like you to do is take my newsletter from last Sunday, which was titled, Why Christians Are Hypocrites. Might as well get right to the point. Might as well ask the pertinent question. I think that's one of the best newsletters I've ever written because I slowed down the film and I showed the satanic sleight of hand that makes sincere people say such wonderful things about God, true things about God, but then categorically deny them every single one right down the line. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that is operated by Satan. This might be the shock therapy that your loved ones and soon-to-be ex-friends might need. So please put that video on social media. You don't even have to comment. Just like pull the pin of the grenade, roll it in the room, and run away. That's what I do sometimes. Go to martinzender.com, ZWTF Archives, scroll down the left-hand side of the page, go to the archives, go to the newsletter titled Why Christians Are Hypocrites, and post it. It's your turn now. I worked hard on an article. I think I really nailed some things that never nailed it quite like I did in that newsletter. Never nailed it quite like that before. So please, I think that newsletter could change lives or get you killed. One of the two. It's worth the chance, I think. Evil is the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, this is the word ra. Isaiah 45:7 says God created evil. God creates both good and evil. God claims responsibility for both good and evil. It is necessary, my friends, to have evil in order to appreciate good, to even know what good is. So God provided for it. It's important for you to know before I tell you an amazing story of a man who could not and would not associate God with any evil whatsoever. This will be good for you to know that evil is morally neutral. It does not have a moral tinge to it. It simply means, in the Hebrew, to break, to shatter. For instance, when the Israelites came into the wilderness, they complained bitterly to Moses and by extension to God, and they said, "Why have you brought us into this evil place?" They were speaking of the desert. Can a desert sin? No. So how was the desert evil? It was evil in that it was broken down. It could not sustain life. Why have you brought us into this evil place? It was an evil place as opposed to a good place. What would be a good place? Some place, let's say, flowing with milk and honey. An evil place would have a noticeable lack of milk and honey and cattle and grass and palm trees and flowing, sparkling streams. It was an evil land. When Joseph's brothers came back to their father and in their evil way, their own evil way, they had dipped Joseph's garment, his multicolored coat, in blood, and they said that an evil beast has rent our brother into pieces. An evil beast. I don't think they said what it was, whether it was a bear or a mountain lion, a French poodle, we don't know. But the fact that the beast was evil, do animals sin? No, they go completely except our dog. Our dog sins on occasion, begging for food constantly, but misses the mark all the time. But no, animals don't sin. And so an evil beast is simply one that tears things. An evil beast would be a lion and a tiger or a bear. oh my, a good beast would be a kitten. Well, no, no, forget it. That's a bad example. A good beast would be a caterpillar, something that just does its own thing, waddles around, a duck. A duck waddles around more than a caterpillar. So the word is completely devoid of any moral tinge. It just is the opposite of good. It means to break. It's bad stuff. No, it's not even bad stuff. No, no. See, I'm falling into the trap of thinking the evil's bad. It's not bad. It just is evil. It breaks rather than builds. Breaks rather than builds. The example I always give, I'll give it again because I got new subscribers all the time, is when someone breaks glass in order to steal jewelry from the jewelry store. That's an evil. They're doing an evil to the glass. They're breaking it to steal. But when somebody breaks glass to call the fire department, right? Do they still have those? When I was in school, they had the little fire alarms break glass. So you're doing it for a good purpose. Another example I give is the Oklahoma City bombing. A building was destroyed. The Alpha P. Murrah building was destroyed by a terrorist who put a bomb in the building, and his goal was to destroy lives. Can't think of the name of the guy right now. It doesn't matter. And I remember being in St. Louis when the city was demolishing a building to make way for a hospital. It was the exact same action. They loaded a building with dynamite and blew it up. Timothy McVeigh, that's the guy's name. Timothy McVeigh loaded a building with dynamite and blew it up. The city workers in St. Louis that day loaded a building, a dilapidated building, with dynamite to blow it up. What's the difference? McVeigh was out to kill people. It was evil. The city crew was out to level a dilapidated building to make way for a hospital. My point is that both events were evil. Both things were evil. Evil has no moral tinge of itself. It depends on how it is used. And when God uses it, it is always, repeat, always for a good purpose. God breaks, but he also rebuilds, right? He kills, but he also resurrects. God does the hard parts of these exchanges in order to give himself an opportunity to do the good part. This is God. He can do evil. We can't. Sometimes even we do evil, as in the example of the crew demolishing the building to make way for a hospital. All right. Now you understand that when you read in Isaiah 45:7, God creates evil, it is not, does not mean that God sins. God does not sin when he does evil. It is necessary, it is wise, and he always has a good purpose in mind for it. Sometimes you have to wait and see. All right, along that line of you have to wait and see, many years ago, I had a discussion with the father of a relative, and we were at an Easter dinner. And around Easter time, of course, we think about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and I was speaking to this man. He thought of himself as a very theologically astute person, and I thought I would challenge him this day, and I said to him, God created evil. See how I just delicately approached the topic? Didn't want to cause offense. So I said, you know God created evil, right? Joe says, no. No way. God is not responsible for any evil whatsoever because God is good. All goodness resides in God. There's no darkness in him at all. So there is no way he could do evil. And he was bringing up to me terrible things that had happened. There was something in the news where a man came in and shot his family, his two children and his wife, then killed himself. He's telling me, you mean God was behind that? I said, well, God is behind everything. And he was just appalled. He just tried to walk away from me. I grabbed him by the back of his shirt, pulled him back. He was a slight man. And I pulled him back and I said, not so fast. I said, what was the worst evil that was ever done on the face of the earth? I said, and I didn't let him answer the question. It was rhetorical. It should be for anybody who has asked this question. The worst evil that has ever occurred is the crucifixion of God's Son. A completely innocent person, not just a person, but the Son of God who never committed a sin in his life, and yet he was subjected to the most horrible evils as we know. And this was Easter time, and the Passion of Christ was fresh in our minds, and this guy, Joe, he couldn't deny that. He couldn't deny it. He said, yeah, that was the most evil. And I said, so you're telling me that God could have nothing to do with it? And do you know what he said? He said, that's right. That's right, Zender. God had nothing to do with that. Oh boy, he had just come in, it fallen into my trap. And it's because I had a trap set for him, and he had walked right into it. I said, okay, God had nothing to do with the crucifixion. I could have gone to Acts chapter 4. I should do that now. I could have gone to Acts chapter 4, where Peter is giving his famous testimony at Pentecost, and he actually credits God. He says, for of a truth, Peter does in Acts chapter 4, of a truth, in this city were gathered against your holy boy Jesus, whom thou dost anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, together with the nations and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your counsel designates beforehand to occur. There it is. The enemies, these are the poster children of evil, Pontius Pilate, Herod, and yet they did whatever God's hand and God's counsel designated beforehand to occur. But I didn't take him there. I didn't want him to get out of my trap so soon. I let a few moments go by, and then I said, Joe, what's the greatest blessing in your life? If you had to think back on your life, what's the best thing that ever happened to you? And I knew what his answer was going to be. My faith. That I'm a believer, that I'm a Christian, that Jesus Christ died for me. You already see him walking into my trap, right? That Jesus Christ died for me. That's the greatest blessing in my life. I said, and who do you thank? Who do you thank for that great blessing, Joe? And he said, why God, of course, God. Didn't even see it coming. Didn't even see it coming. I said, but Joe, God had nothing to do with it. What do you mean? Still didn't see it coming. I said, you just 5 minutes ago took all responsibility for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ off the shoulders of God. You said that he had nothing to do with it. And Joe, I think if I had pursued you, you would have laid it on the head of Satan. In fact, you know, I did. I did get him to admit that before I sprung the trap. I asked him, who was responsible? Satan. Of course, that's what Christians believe. Satan did it. Evil people. Herod, Pontius Pilate, inspired by Satan. Judas. Satan came into him. Satan. All right, yeah. Pause that. Lock it in. So back we go. Forward we go. I sprung the trap and I said, you just removed all responsibility for the crucifixion of Christ from God's shoulders. This thing that you're telling me was the greatest blessing of your life. And then you tell me that you thank God for it. Joe, I hate to say this on Easter day, but you are a hypocrite. Because if you weren't a hypocrite, if you are honest, if you are consistent, if you're taking the responsibility for this greatest evil that ever happened from the shoulders of God and putting it on the shoulders of Satan, then you would have to thank Satan for your salvation. Boom. I had him. He was locked in. He could not say anything. All he did, I swear to God, this is what he shook his head, turned around, walked away. That time I did not grab him. I let him go because I had the victory. And I like to think, even though this was probably 30 years ago, that somehow, somewhere in his brain, that is rankling around. If it doesn't come to him in this life, if I ever see this guy again, I'm going to ask him about it. But the next time I see him might be at the Great White Throne. And at the Great White Throne, it's going to hit him. He took the responsibility of this evil. And yes, it's the worst evil. And it's difficult to attribute, as Peter does here, the counsel and the foreknowledge of God was behind every terrible, terrible thing that happened to Jesus Christ. And if you're only staring at the crucifixion, it's very difficult to see God behind it. In fact, nobody wants to associate God with that. But you have to wait and see what happens after that, because even Jesus Christ, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Jesus Christ knew that by going through this, he's going to deliver creation from the bondage of sin and death. And he was going to deliver a saved creation at the feet of his Father. And he was going to despoil principalities and powers. And he was going to eventually bring the entire universe to the feet of God, until all God's enemies were at his feet, worshiping. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, celestial, terrestrial, and subterranean, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And for the eons of the eons, the praise and the glory of what happened that terrible day at Calvary will redound through the universe to the glory of God. And for someone to then say, some terribly consistent person like Joe, to then say, "What? No, stop praising God, stop praising God, stop praising God. Satan did this. So should we change the name of the hymn? Instead of Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. How about Amazing Satan? Amazing Satan, how sweet the sound." No. But to be consistent, that's what you would have to do. So the lesson here is that if we can look at the worst evil that ever happened, the crucifixion of Christ, and we can already see in our own lives the result of that evil, I would say God justified it, wouldn't you? Yeah, I would say so. And then we believe what God has to say about the future, that through the blood of the cross, Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, he will reconcile all to himself, both that in the heavens and that on the earth, all principalities, all powers, everything. Far-reaching, all in exchange for one really, really bad day. And so now, when after looking at the results, we can come back to the cross. And of course, we can say, yes, God is behind this. God did this. God admits that he does it. It pleased him to bruise his son. Ouch. How could he say that? Because he's looking at the outcome. It didn't please him in the short term. It pleased him in the long term. My point is that if we can justify this, the worst evil ever done on the face of the planet, and we can, I just did it. If that can be justified, then all other lesser evils, and all other evils are lesser evils, every one of them, will be justified, more than justified. I mean, doesn't the results of the cross justify the cross? Of course it does. We know it does. We know it's horrible. We avert our eye from it when we see it, when we see the passion of Christ, but in our hearts we know this had to happen, this must happen. Jesus Christ is going to raise from the dead, and he's going to have more glory than before, and he's going to bring the universe back to his Father. Yeah, it's worth it. And Jesus Christ thought it was worth it too. But this Joe, with a short-sighted Christian viewpoint, no, God wouldn't do any evil, to be consistent then, you would have to say that your salvation, all the blessings that you get from the cross, you can't thank God for it. To be consistent, you would have to thank Satan for that. You would have to thank Satan. And the voices of the angels in the eons to come would be singing the praises of Satan, not God. Let's elongate our viewpoint. And once we do that, we can come back to all of our present evils and realize that every single one of them will be justified.